Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 203, episode 2 of Diaries I Guess, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Tuesday, September 21st, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Look at my thighs. I'm Jack O'B. It's Jack and Miles on TDZ. I bring you coal gas. I bring you trends. It's every day the show never ends.
Wow.
That is courtesy of the girl with the kaiju tattoo. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Hang around, token by myself, and I've had too much cold brew, and I was reading about horse paste, and there he was. Eyes glued to his switch, yeah, there he was. In the Zoom room on my screen, I smell dew and coal gas hair. Who's that lounging in that chair?
Woo!
Who's that flashing blinding thighs in my direction? Surely wow. It must be Jack O'B. Okay, shout out to Gingerfish on the
Beauty.
Discord, newcomer to the Discord, and you just dunking Damn. On us with that Marcy Playground
Windmill.
AKA. Thank you.
Windmill 360. Vince Carter's first dunk of the dunk contest. That,
what was your AK was. To the tune of? I'm sorry.
It was a cult of personality. You know, you
got, yeah.
you got the was yep. playing in my head, but yep. it wasn't playing in anyone else's head.
That's the,
so okay. maybe we'll cut that one down.
No, never.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined by the correspondent and host of Vice News Reports. Before that, they hosted Vox's technology podcast, Reset. And they were the first climate change correspondent in American Nightly News on the Emmy Award-winning Vice News Tonight. They were awarded the 2019 Science and Society Journalism Award for a story they wrote about a predominantly Black community living in a poor rural region of Alabama, where failing septic tanks and pools of raw sewage had increased the risk of hookworm and other infectious diseases. All of that to say they are a first-rate guest on a second-rate podcast. Mm-hmm. Please welcome the talented, the esteemed, the brilliant Ariel Doom-Ross!
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Really love that rendition of Sex and Candy. So good.
Wasn't it good?
You know,
so good. Like, actually so enjoyable.
Thank you.
Good work.
There's just something about that song I've always felt connected to. I don't know. I feel like at a certain point it was playing on a loop at the mall I used to go to as a kid, like just all the time.
Oh yeah. It was also on the soundtrack for Cruel Intentions.
Yeah. Exactly.
A very classic. Important movie in my teenage years.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
When I picture Cruel Intentions, I can only picture the Scary Movie kiss version of that. Is that what it was? A Scary Movie that did the kiss with the like long saliva?
Oh,
thing
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Coming
yeah,
out of
yeah,
it?
With the saliva.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, that's all I've seen since then.
And had you brought up any other movie, I still would have brought that scene up.
Of course, you would
when
have.
I think of that movie,
when I think of Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, I can't help but think of that kiss in Scary Movie.
Oh, God. I really hope I'm right about the Sex and Candy being in the Cruel Intentions soundtrack, because if I'm not, we definitely went on a tangent.
You know what? If you're not, they failed, because it would have been perfect for that soundtrack, even if it wasn't on it.
Exactly. Let me just look and just confirming it is not on there. Well,
are you serious?
You failed.
Oh, shit.
Coming Up From Behind is a Marcy
Coming
Playground
up from
song
behind.
On that one.
Yes,
yeah.
that's the one. All right. Okay. At least the band actually made a song for
Yeah, and honestly, for
that's
you to even know
me, right?
Multiple Marcy Playground songs, I think, is a feat in and of itself. So that deserves plaudits.
Coming up from behind. It's a very good song. It's got a really good bass line.
Yeah.
Solid.
Exactly. Yeah. And I got to say, people don't know this on that are listening to the podcast, but you are on some newfangled iPad. And when you were just doing your little moves, it was giving a little bit of camera motion. So you really brought a vibe to the Zoom call. So I really appreciate that.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's a very cool program that I'm immediately going to go out and get, because it just adds gravitas to everything you do. You were struggling with technology before we started recording, and it like did this slow push on your face that just made it be, I don't know, it was very cool.
Well, I just looked perplexed trying to join the audio on this call.
Yeah.
Or like you were super deep in thought and contemplating the world's problems.
Respect.
How has your pandemic been? I can't remember when it was that we last talked.
Yeah, last time we talked, I think it was still the pandemic.
Yeah, how's your recent pandemic been?
It's been okay, you know. I finally got to go back to Canada, where I'm from, where I grew up.
Yeah.
To see my family, and that was a big deal, because that hadn't happened in 2 years. So, you know, it's, you know, we're hanging in there.
Yeah.
Nice.
And you're in New York, right, when you're in the States?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn right now. Yeah.
How did you, and like I ask every guest who was over there, how did you fare during the inclement weather a few weeks ago?
Oh, we were fortunate. Our backyard, because we have a yard, kind of flooded a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while there, I was like, oh, there's a lake in the backyard. But it didn't actually enter the apartment, so we were good.
Oh, okay.
Really, cool. Really fortunate. A lot of our friends in the same neighborhood were not as fortunate.
Yeah. 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 And I'm always curious, because like I have, like half of my family lives in Japan, and I haven't been able to see them since the pandemic either. What was it like to go home after all that time? Was it just like, was it everything you thought it would be? Was it less? Was it more? Was it surreal?
That's a good question. You know, what was strange is that like, because I hadn't seen my parents in 2 years, I had a little bit of, we do Zoom calls, but like, it's not like phone cameras are super detailed. And so I had a little bit of a fear that I was like, oh, are they going to look like 2 years older? Like that kind of, for whatever reason, like it kind of freaked me out that I would feel like so much time had passed that I could actually notice a difference. Fortunately for them, they still look great. So
fantastic.
I didn't actually, I didn't feel that. And that
so
was
you were able
great.
To embrace them in your heart because they still looked good. So you were like, all right.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. It was just because they still look, you know, fairly yeah. young, right?
You're still
yeah.
bringing it. Okay. You deserve my love.
So I still love them. Right.
Great lesson.
But it was weird. It was weird because my experience of the pandemic in New York City was so different from theirs in Montreal. Mm. You know, like, my sister to this day still doesn't actually know somebody personally that she's like close to who's had COVID.
Wow.
Right. Exactly. And so like when you're talking about like what the pandemic has been like, whereas they and also on top of that, they have had a bunch of curfews. They had curfews that lasted a really long time. And so it's like this comparing notes situation where like we all experience traumatic things, but very, very differently. Mm-hmm. You know, my trauma was like life and death trauma, and my sister's trauma was like being at home all the time, feeling super confined.
Right.
And it, more so than in Brooklyn. And so it's just like, it's just that's weird. That feeling of like, I think before I went, I felt like, oh, we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. And then I went and I was like, nope, every country had a different pandemic, right?
Right.
It's not this big universal global shared experience the way that I thought it was initially.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense.
So we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, just a few of the things we're talking about. We're talking about the humanitarian crisis at the border in Del Rio, Texas, and just generally the inhumane border policies of all administrations and ones that are especially poorly, you know, suited to our increasingly hot, changed climate. We will talk about Mike Pence. Apparently, he thinks he can lead the GOP, and I'm
good
here.
For him.
I want to see it. Yeah, I'm like, I believe in you. Get out there, do your thing. You know,
your base didn't want to like lynch you or anything, so you're. Right. I'm pretty sure you got this, Mike.
Yeah,
this,
you got it.
I
Mike.
Love the confidence, sir.
We're going to talk about how college students are drinking less, smoking more. We're going to talk about the Emmys briefly, just the fact that they were not COVID safe. And then we're going to talk about just a couple other responses to, you know, just we're seeing COVID logic bend into all different kind of unique, uncomfortable shapes. So we'll talk about the conservative logic that thinks that liberals are doing reverse psychology on them, all of that, plenty more. But first, Ariel, we like to ask our guest what is something from your search history.
Right. So from my all of my answers to all these questions all surround the same theme right now. So recent search history, the thing that is predominant in my search history right now is I'm looking for like really good cycling shorts. Because I recently got into like biking and I went on this like 40 something mile bike ride this weekend and like my butt hurts, like my sits bones, like everything is in like deep, deep pain. And now I need to like gear up and actually buy actually good cycling gear.
What?
So
shorts make
a just
difference?
Rocking.
I'm so ignorant.
Yeah.
So
like the padded shorts.
Oh,
and I also,
right.
I'm also looking for like a different bike seat that has less padding compared, because apparently that's better too. So it's like my search history is all about biking right now and specifically about like my butt pain.
Right. How to relieve butt pain from biking. What kind
but
of
like,
bike?
Seriously though.
Like a road bike, gravel, what kind of?
Yeah, I have a 10-year-old road bike that I bought when I was doing my undergraduate degree. And I never really got into it very intensely. And then I moved to New York City and I was too scared to bike in New York City. But I have a bunch of friends who like are very intense cyclists and they are building up my confidence. They're taking me on rides. I went through Central Park this weekend and Times Square and like contended with those cars. And it was good. It was a good experience.
I'm also getting on my bike, but I just got an electric bike just to like kind of commute around so I don't drive my car as much.
Yeah,
which is great. But part of it is I live in one of the most hostile places for someone to be on a bicycle, which is LA.
Right.
And I, like you, like my partner, she'll bike into work. So she's like very comfortable on the roads.
Wow.
I grew up almost getting hit by cars to the point where I mostly would ride my bike on the sidewalk, which you're not supposed to do, just to like avoid the stress of that. But as I've gotten out more, I can totally identify with like the comfort level, because like I at first hated cars like flying by me when I was on a bike, and now, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm learning my safety like sort of protocols, how to keep my head on a swivel, know how to read my body to signal to other cars and things like that, and I'm slowly gaining that confidence. So
like defensive bike techniques are so important, and I'm like slowly learning them.
Yeah.
New York is no joke. I used to bike around New York a lot and have almost been sandwiched by a bus in between, like a bus and a parked car.
I don't know why I think LA is more hostile. I think it's because I see more people in New York being like, I don't give a fuck. I'm out here.
Right.
And that when I'm like, oh, it must be easy to bike. But when I'm on the sidewalks of New York, I'm still like, man, I would not bike in this shit at all.
Yeah.
But I guess it's all about, learning the environment and getting used to it.
Yeah, I'm just getting comfy on my bike, you know?
Yeah.
I've definitely felt the pain of not having the right... My cycling pants were corduroy. And,
oh, boy.
I started a fire.
Yeah.
At one point. It was not good.
Just leaving a trail of fabric behind you.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, so along this like theme of biking here, you know, I've done spin classes. I've tried a Peloton bike in the past. Like, I think that's what's overrated. Like, now that I'm getting into like outdoor biking, it is just 100% better to just be outside, to like the real life effort of like real roads outdoors. It just feels so much better. So like that's the overrated, underrated thing. Like, I think spin classes are super overrated.
Mm. But who, when you're biking around on the street, who's telling you that you're killing it? And just shouting at you repeatedly.
I'm sweating too. Okay, come on now.
So I will tell you, my friend Dylan, who takes me out on bike rides, the first bike ride that we did together, we went like 44 miles or something. And I had never done that much, like not even close. Like my last bike ride had probably been like 2 miles or like 5 miles.
Right.
So he takes me out on this bike ride. And at the very end, the last like 5 miles, I was dying. And he starts playing the theme to Rocky next to me. Like holding out his phone.
There you go.
So my friend Dylan is the answer to that question.
Everybody needs a Dylan.
Yeah,
Dylan, that's awesome.
You son of a bitch. For all the Predator fans out there. But yeah, I love to hear that that Rocky theme would get you through it. Oh, yeah. I got to get a speaker. Do you have a speaker for your bike? You blasting tunes when you biking?
Not yet. Maybe I'll get there at some point.
Yeah, I think that's my next step, because I don't want to like have headphones in, but I don't mind being like the guy who's like, who's that old millennial blasting drum and bass off their bicycle like, riding through this like park?
Yeah, you can also do those like bone conducting headphones that just conduct through your jaw. Those are kind of nerdy, though. They're like not the best look, but they're safe.
Yeah, and I don't mind just being aggressive. I'd rather have someone be like, turn that shit off, than like have my space headphones on.
That's perfect.
The jaw one, so you can hear the sounds around you as your jaw is. Oh, that's pretty cool. How do they stick to your jaw?
Oh, so they just like pass behind your ears, like very much like you know, like old school sports headphones that would wrap around your ears.
Yeah,
and then they like stick to your jaw on the side, and so it's just wrapping around your ears, basically. Yeah,
that sounds trippy. Coming from inside your head.
Have you ever tried them? Do you know what the sound quality is like?
Sound quality is not as good. I used to have a pair. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I used to own a pair, and it's not as good. It's definitely not like audiophiles will hate them.
Right.
But, you know, they do the trick. And if you're listening to podcasts, you can definitely hear.
And
if you're listening to music, like it's more about like feeling the music, I guess. But they really do leave your ears like entirely clear.
Yeah. Maybe that's better than me strapping a boom box onto my bike so I can't hear anything.
Probably. Yeah. Probably makes more sense. Yeah.
But I love Boom by Andy C.
I picture you strapping a boombox onto your head, like
like on top of the helmet and shit. Like it's, I'm so unbalanced. Oh no, no. I'll be safe out there.
What is something that you think is underrated?
Well, yeah, so I kind of already gave you my answer, which is biking outside.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's the thing that's super underrated. Everything is all, there's a theme here, you know? I really, but yeah, I've been enjoying being outside so, so much. It's a real workout. It's super hard. And I don't know, I just feel like I have to be like incredibly alert. Mm-hmm. Feels like I'm like some kind of superhero sometimes, just looking at my environment while I'm biking, and it's a good feeling.
I love the freedom of it. I feel like it's like it's one of the first things I've done recently that I actually felt like I did when I was a kid, like doing something. This feels exactly like when I'd be like, I'll be back in an hour, mom. And I'm like getting on my bike, and I'm like going to 7-Eleven, like further down, because there was a Slurpee flavor I wanted that they didn't have of my 7-Eleven and shit. And that like sense of, I think, being free and like having the wind in my face, that was like a thing I really wasn't prepared for as I really started like biking more and more and more. I was like, oh man, this is like, it's activating all these feelings.
It's so great. And all of a sudden, New York City feels like really small. Because now I can actually like reach every spot relatively fast, and like it makes everything so much more accessible all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Like if you can get on a bike, like 100% recommended.
That's what I noticed when I started biking around New York, is like I had learned New York geography as like a series of islands based around the subway stops that had gone to. And so, and then biking just allowed you to like kind of connect all of those and actually see, oh, this is actually super, super close.
I never feel more dumb than when I bike through somewhere and I'm like, oh my God, this is just on the other side of this part of town.
Right.
I don't know what the fuck I thought this was. Yeah. I grew up in this fucking place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk news.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And we're back. And there is a developing, worsening humanitarian crisis on the other side of the border in Del Rio, Texas. There are mostly Haitian migrants currently living under a bridge and basically just waiting to see if the United States will help them.
Yeah.
And the answer seems to be no.
It's sadly, they're seeking asylum in the United States. And what, you know, Trump and Biden, they seem to be doing the same thing, which is basically telling them, no, we are unable to do that. Biden hasn't deviated much from Trump's policies, which is essentially like, wait in Mexico during this period, and we will use a CDC guideline to sort of justify sending people back on flights no matter what, under the guise of essentially protecting the U.S. from COVID. And a lot of people are really skeptical whether or not that is even having the positive results they claim to have by saying like, oh, well, these people, we got to get them out because of the pandemic. But it's just a way to justify the inhumane treatment of these people who are seeking asylum. And, you know, again, cramped conditions, glacial pace of processing people, just we're seeing the same problems, you know, just sort of play out over and over. And predictably, Republicans are pouncing on this moment as like a way to paint displaced people as subhuman, and also to try and create a scandal that they can campaign on for Joe Biden, because xenophobia is a great motivating tactic for their base, which is to point at something at the board and say, look what's happening because of Joe Biden. Now get out there and vote for someone who will treat them like not people. And we've already seen pictures of the fucking border patrol, like on horses, whipping people. I don't know if you saw those images yet, but it is a really, really terrible scene. And Biden, is totally aware of this. I think the dynamic, especially as it relates to the conservative sort of painting of this incident right now. And I think that's why he's barely changed the policy since he's took office, because he doesn't want that. He doesn't want to give the right the optic win of essentially being humane and allowing them to turn it into this guy's just he's just basically burning the borders down. You know, it's free for all over here at this point. And then at the same time, continued sort of disregard for Haiti's place in the Western Hemisphere and why we're at this place, because there's typically a strong connection between people who are seeking asylum in the United States or trying to get into the United States and us meddling in their country at some point prior to that and destabilizing it. And this is
Haiti's a really good example of that for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the backdrop behind all of this is like the earthquake. It's Haiti having lost its president to assassination very recently. And yeah, it's sad to see, you know, the fact that Biden isn't doing very much right now and is not changing post-Trump, is not really reversing many of these policies. Yeah, it's it definitely feels like an optics thing for sure.
Yeah, right. It's the only way you can manage, I think, because already there's problems as it relates to, you know, the COVID mandates. As he, you know, he's trying to play walk a fine line with that. There's also like he's got the UN stuff happening this week where he's like going to try and like beg like Macron to like the US again because the whole submarine sail incident. But yeah, I mean,
that
I think
incident? I kind of saw a vague reference to that, but
because
France's.
Yeah, because they were like, hey, like we sell nuclear subs, not you guys to Australia. It's all part of this pact of the New Zealand, Australia, sort of US sort of, you know, Pacific pact against China. But, you know, when it comes to the Haitians, you know, like there have ever since that earthquake in 2010, you know, it's caused many people to seek opportunity outside of the country at a larger rate. And then the pandemic killed off a lot of jobs that people had in places like Brazil or Chile and things like that. So they're moving further to try and find a way to survive. And this time, there were a lot of social media rumors that were like fueling a lot of the optimism for these migrants, which is essentially that they were like, well, there's protected status for Haitians. But that was really only applying to the people that were within the United States. And now they're being met at the border with whips and horses and just saying like, this now is not the time, and putting people on flights back to a country that is like verging on a like full on like hot civil war.
Yeah.
And so many people are like, this doesn't even make sense. Like, this is like cruelty upon cruelty to do this. And, you know, to the point of like U.S. intervention in Haiti, this has been an issue. You know, Haiti's economic development was hamstrung the second that they liberated themselves with a slave rebellion from France. And France essentially said, OK, we'll acknowledge your independence if you pay us for the lost property that the slave owners experienced as a result of you liberating yourselves. And those payments were being made from the beginning of the 19th century up until the last payment, I think, was made in the 40s, the 1940s. And, you know, again, the U.S. was very, very quickly entered Haiti, like towards the beginning of the 20th century, took over the treasury and was sort of essentially saying like, OK, 40% of all the wealth in this country is going to be redirected towards, quote unquote, debt that you owe the U.S. or France. And this has just been, this has kept Haiti from actually being able to grow as a nation and also be part of a global economy. So just like so many layers of of trauma and death to deal with. But this is, again, this is the thing that the American media or mainstream media will never do, is like give you a real primer on these countries where people are coming from and understanding what the U.S.'s role is and how they got to where they are. And on some level should be arguing why we should actually be helping these people. Because it's typically, it's always reasons to like why we shouldn't. I mean, Joe Biden famously said in like the 90s that like Haiti was just inconsequential to the United States. And that's why he was focused more on the Balkans. So,
I actually didn't know he said that. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, and it's like very, like he said it in very dark terms, like essentially saying like if it sunk into the sea, like we wouldn't really,
Jesus Christ,
we wouldn't think twice about it.
90s Biden tells on modern day Biden a lot, like quotes from 90s Biden, like about Israel. And
he said, if Haiti just quietly sunk into the Caribbean or rose up 300 feet, it wouldn't matter a whole lot in terms of our interest.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah. That was 1994.
That is wild. That is not a great quote.
No, but he's not. He's full of not great quotes.
Right.
You know, like, and it, all the time you're like, he said that. He's sort of one of those people where you go, he said that? And then at the other side of your mind, you're all like, oh, yeah, he said that shit. Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. I can also see that.
Yeah. I mean, the hope is that he is politically adaptable and changes and like kind of feels the pressure to move towards a more humanitarian place. But that is... Yeah, when you're doing shit like what he's doing at the border right now, it kind of suggests that he hasn't really changed that much with regards to how he feels about
it. It's not a fight. He, you know, this is like another thing. Like, I think he expended a lot of political capital, like the visibly because of the Afghanistan thing, by saying like, we shouldn't have been there. This is always going to happen. So someone had to do it because every person before me lied that they were going to do it. So we have to do this to like move things along. Yeah, is there a better way to do it? Yeah, probably, but he didn't. And I think, you know, immigration is just another one of those third rail issues in this country where if you suddenly have any movement towards a humane policy towards allowing people into this country or people who are looking for a better life or asylum, that all it's going to do is you're going to now have to face just a media culture war against this idea that you're saying like America doesn't matter and this is just some place for people to come flood and be dirty or whatever.
Right.
And I don't think, it doesn't seem, I don't know how many people have moved sort of past being able to look at a situation like that and kind of not have that take up all the oxygen in the news.
Yeah. It's another example of just, you know, the U.S. government basically understaffing the people who are processing people who are making claims of asylum. And then, you know, they, even if they had the right policy in place, they would, you know, just be like, but it's the same thing with the distribution of rent relief and, you know, the eviction ban. It's like they can have all these big ideas and policies, but then they don't actually staff it up. So you don't have the bureaucracy in place to actually do anything with your ideas.
Right. I think Del Rio is having a huge problem with that, like specifically, right? Because they're arresting a bunch of people. They're putting a lot of these people in jail and they just don't have the staff to take care of these individuals, to process them. Like it really is like in Del Rio, it is bad right now.
Yeah. And the sad thing is that all these images just will make someone who's not as informed just think that there's no solution to something like this. And it's just like, right. Well, I don't know. We have Border Patrol. We have, you know, right. customs people who work on this, but they still, I mean, this is why we got to just tighten stuff up rather than really understanding like, no, we're not servicing these people in the manner that we should be. We're not creating the, we don't have the actual infrastructure to deal with this because this is only going to increase as climate changes and gets more intense and causes more like environmental disasters. People are going to move. That's just a nailed on fact of our world.
Yeah.
And borders are not. People still move. So there is some like, I don't know when that reckoning is going to come, but you know, that's going to be a huge part of how we adapt to the changing world is understanding that like, we have to let go of these ideas of like, no, you're from there. You can only stay there and you stay there till you die. And if you don't, like, don't even think about coming here because we only have enough for us, stuff for us. And we're not even worried on trying to think of how we can make it all work.
I mean, for a lot of people, the reckoning's already happening. Like the, you know, Human Rights Watch published a letter on Wednesday of last week just saying, you know, this policy of like heavily guarding the routes that people cross the border that are hospitable, so that pushing people to extremely hot and unforgiving terrain, like they are killing people. They're straight up killing people as the world gets hotter and hotter. Heat waves are already the deadliest form of natural disaster in the U.S. And they're just pushing people into regions where, like, in terms of how much it's changing, the number of days over 100 degrees Fahrenheit per year is expected to climb to 60 by mid-century, up from the annual average of 28 between 1971 and 2000. Like, that's more than doubled in, you know, 50 years because of climate change. It's going to really kill a lot of people. But again, it's like sort of this, we're not doing anything. Like, they're the ones who are doing it type logic, that conservatism by doing nothing. Like, just by doing nothing, rather, it allows the Democratic Party to just not get called out for doing cruel things, but, you know, passively do the cruel policy that makes it easy for them to triangulate with conservatives.
Yeah, I mean, so there are so many thoughts regarding heat waves. One is that, like, actually nobody knows that they are, like, the deadliest natural disasters. Like, people don't think about them. They don't happen in a shocking of a way as like a wildfire or a storm. You know, it's such a different kind of death. It is also an incredibly terrible death. Mm-hmm. It is really, really brutal. Like, if you like look up an article that tells you exactly how people die from heat waves, it is not pretty. And on top of that, you have Border Patrol agents dumping water at the border. Like, when these nonprofit organizations leave water for migrants along those routes, they dump the water out.
Yeah.
And that to me is really something that every time I think about that, it's just like, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine doing that as policy.
Right. Because, and the way I think we have these departments set up, it's just to be like, okay, who's willing to brutalize these people? It has nothing to do with compassion, meeting these people with compassion. It's like, these are invaders. So take away anything they have that would potentially give them safe passage. Like you're saying, like cynically, just like cutting open water containers and just leaving it. So there's nothing for a fucking human person who is wandering the earth to try and have a better outcome for themselves. Yeah, just fundamentally, we have just such a barbaric system. And I think just in general, in most countries just think of immigration as this like dirty thing bad thing rather than like acknowledging our place in like a global community and understanding, like, you know, at a certain point, I think a lot of Americans are under the assumption that America will be the best place to live forever, no matter what happens to the planet. And, you know, I think not many people put themselves in a place with, what if you were trying to cross a border?
Right.
And what does that look like? But I think exceptionalism has completely put that out of people's minds, because that's the only way you could look at this and not have any compassion. Like, I think me, as someone who's so worried about what the future holds for this planet and future generations, it's all I can think of is like, well, that could be you. That could be us. That could be anyone.
Yeah. Could be anyone. I mean, except maybe the super rich, right?
Right. Like, yeah.
The super rich are going to be just fine. And it, other than that, it could be anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you want your kids and grandkids to be treated when they're trying to cross the Canadian border? And like everybody's trying to get the fuck out of America.
Right.
All right. Well, speaking of people doing offensive things through inaction and just trying not to be offensive while doing the most offensive shit in the world, let's talk about Mike Pence. Apparently, the rumors are getting louder and louder. Mike Pence thinks he has a shot at becoming president. I think he's always thought that. You just got strong vibes that he was like, I'm just going to let sit back and let Trump just fuck himself up. Just let him explode and we good. You know, he and the Kochs were, you know, that was he's like the number one boy, the number one good boy for the Koch brothers. And I think that was their plan for a long time. And now they're like, all right, well, let's try and do it. You know, let's try and get this guy in.
This is a weird situation for everybody involved. I mean, like, you know, Trump and him, first of all, the more and more you read, it sounds that Pence had a harder time, like, thinking of whether or not he should invoke the 25th Amendment over whether or not he should invalidate the election, which I was like, okay, that's fucking
scary. He was more willing to invalidate the election.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Because he's so thirsty for power. Like, he just stood idle. Like, you know, we saw him throughout the presidency. He was like the man in the room who pretended he wasn't in the room the whole time and tried to walk out with his like integrity intact, which wasn't going to happen. But him and Trump have been in like really like bad terms, you know, ever since the sixth, and him like, you know, not invalidating the election for him. And they say that like that they're one of in the new Bob Woodward book that's coming out. Apparently that Trump told him, like essentially said, I don't want to be your friend anymore. like as the administration was winding down. And, you know, they said the last time they spoke was maybe April after Pence had some kind of like heart procedure. And I'm, you know, Trump, he absolutely, if he hates you, he's going to come for you. I mean, he did it to Jeff Sessions. Right. He does it to all kinds of people.
It's not like he's going to be promoting Pence as Pence campaigns. Like Pence doesn't get to capitalize off of any of that. And correct me if I'm wrong, but my impression is that Trump supporters, many of them do not actually like Pence.
No, they do not.
I mean,
I got the sense from them chanting that they wanted to hang him when they stormed the Capitol that maybe they weren't the biggest fan.
Yeah, he's just trying to do this thing where, you know, he's like missing all these like just sort of basic facts, right? That if your appeal with the MAGA base is fractured, like, yeah, there are conservatives who do like you, like because you're a Republican and you're part of the administration. Then you have like the MAGA zombie clique that is like, you tried to go against the leader and will not forgive him. But so I'm like, I'm not sure what he thinks his appeal is with the base, aside from like trying to be, you know, because he's not like the total piece of shit conservative politician, which is like getting really popular, like your, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greens and like Lauren Boebert types. That's not him. He's like the very upstanding, big Christian energy guy who tries to act like he's like, you know, the most moral figure in American history. But
he still tries to like appear respectable and seems to care about that.
Right.
Although like I don't know. That thing about him not being able to be in a room with a woman alone is just like really.
Yeah.
It's still like really. I think about it every time I hear his name. Like,
that's
wow,
troubling. Bro. That's troubling for anyone, let alone the vice president of the United States of America. Like, if I heard that somebody I knew had that policy, or like somebody that I knew, like a friend of a friend had that policy, I'd be like concerned about the world, let alone like somebody who is wielding that much power.
Right. I'm like, are you a monster? Is that the deal? Like, is that the subtext of that? Because I know you're trying to act like it's not proper, but that just raises so many more questions or what you believed a dynamic between a man and a woman should be. because it's so aggressively gender normative, too. It's like, this, what is, I don't even know where this guy's coming from. So we'll see what, I mean, we'll see what he tries to campaign on. While most people who are in orbit of Trump, like, they've been waiting to see what Trump does, you know, like Nikki Haley and those types. But he's got an office in D.C. He's hiring staffers. He's already got a fundraiser going. Like, it looks like this thing's going to kick off.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
I think
we'll see what happens.
He's very popular with, like, the Kochs and other wealthy benefactors. Like, that was his main thing. It was kind of appeasing them, soothing the people who donated to Trump and, what, like, the very wealthy, the 1%. Like, he was sort of the Trump administration's mouthpiece to that group. And so he's always got that going for him.
Right.
I feel like he looks at himself in the mirror and he's like, you look like a fucking president, because he's got that like head of white hair, you know, and like he looks like, you know, he's got that would be cast to play a president on TV if he wasn't like a wooden, you know, weirdo. But I think this is going to get more coverage than it should. Like, my guess is he's going to get a lot of coverage because most of the mainstream media, like, are Democrats or think like Democrats and like are like, well, this is the safe play. This is, you know, like the this is what the Republican Party would do if they thought like Democrats, basically, is, you know, go for the safe person who's going to make the right statements, you know,
and ignore the sentiment in the base completely.
Right. Yeah. And ignore the sentiment in the base completely. And then my assumption is he's going to fade once public polling gets involved and they're like, oh, he has like no support.
Yeah. Or, but, you know, Trump's just gonna come out swinging.
I mean, that would be fun.
And then that's gonna be an entire messy situation, but I don't know. Yeah, it's we shall wait and see who thinks they can do it.
I guess the one thing to kind of keep an eye out for us for when specifically when Trump and Pence go head to head, because then Trump is going to have to explain why Pence isn't his VP pick, and Pence is going to have to explain why he isn't Trump's VP pick, and you know, that'll be right. Fascinating.
Yeah,
and presumably
he's going to be like, he was a total monster to work with, folks. Being the vice president was one of the worst times of my life. Then I knew I could do it better, and you're like, oh my god.
I could definitely see, yeah. I mean, he must know some of the secrets, right, of the administration.
But at the same time, he has to keep Trump supporters on who would right. consider voting for him on his side, right? So he won't be able to shit talk Trump that much. Trump will be able to do whatever he wants.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess what do you think he does? He like hits himself in a debate to be like, "Whoa, guys, whoa, ha-ha. That was crazy, right? How I can't stop hitting myself." Trump's right a little bit. I don't know how to disagree with him without being in direct opposition to him. So this is going to be tough.
Mm. Yeah, that will be interesting. It'll be interesting to see a Donald Trump who can do whatever he wants. I wonder what that'll look like.
Oh, yeah, he's got to figure out. He's sitting on all that cash.
Yeah.
So we'll see what he does with it. It seems like he's just paying his bills at the moment.
Probably keep it would be my guess. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And we're back, and some news on college students. Yeah. They are drinking less, smoking more weed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, this seems kind of natural to me just based on the fact that the quality of weed has gone way up and alcohol has always been very... like very bad for you. Like what, why, like is it like I just feel like the more you know,
yeah,
like if weed is the same legal status as alcohol, why the fuck would you ever drink alcohol?
I think there's, you know, a few right now they said it's like a 6% increase from like a few years ago when it comes to like the number of college students who are using cannabis. And they also found that like alcohol use dipped from 62% to 56%. And like for people of them, like who are like being drunk, like in the last month, that went from 28% from 35%, and binge drinking fell pretty like heavily. They said like, you know, binge drinking has gone from 32% to 24%, which is the lowest in like this study's history. And but like over the course of even this show, we've checked in on this poll before, and it had always shown that binge drinking was going down and lower. And I think that's just always just been the case, I think. But I think the reason it got to these historic lows is because 2020 just was a complete, utter lack of like social events where it seems like that's where college students probably that's their preferred venue for alcohol consumption versus the pandemic, which is like, how do I make my dorm room interesting for fucking 12 hours? I'll do some like psychedelics and take some edibles and watch Ted Lasso and I got a day, baby.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know,
it'll be really interesting to see if this dip like continues post pandemic.
Yeah.
But like just as a like individual, like let's just take this for what it is. Like this is like definitely super good news. And that's very cool. Like it's nice to see because like, you know, alcohol is just straight up poison. And weed is not in the same way. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. This like this whole Washington Post article, like the first like third was just this information. And then the rest was like debating the differences between like weed and like how bad it can be. And I was like, wait, what is this?
All right.
Are you just going to tell us about this? Are you going to bring up all these scary studies and you're like, I don't know, though, but for young people, man, it can really... And, like, yeah, there are some studies where, like, certain developmental things can be stunted to a certain extent, but not to the point when you're like, what is alcohol? Like, you know, truly, like, the effects of alcohol on people are just horrendous.
It's really terrible. Yeah, I mean, it's also, like, weed studies are so complicated to cite, too. Like, I think that's changing.
Yeah.
But for a really, really long time, scientists weren't even allowed to study weed unless it came from like one specific farm/lab in the U.S. that was allowed to grow it. And the strains and what they were growing was not at all representative of what was out in the wild, in the public.
Wait a second.
And so like that like not allowing scientists to properly study weed means that, like, up until very recently, a lot of studies were just like, it's really, really hard to take anything from those studies, unfortunately.
Yeah. And they still also found that.
It looks like the byline on this Washington Post op-ed is Pete Coors. Is that maybe that has something to do
Augustus
with all this?
Bush?
Augustus. okay.
But yeah, it's definitely like, you know, times are changing, and obviously the pandemic's just like changed all of people's habits. But they've also seen like use of psychedelics has gone up by 4% too. And I think that's kind of like that's sort of the newer trend in people using drugs recreationally.
Yeah.
Is psychedelics, because it's like, that's another thing where we've been prevented from really doing in-depth research into psychedelics, and the stuff that we are only beginning to hear about seems very compelling. People see like uses just outside of a trip, like that it can be spiritually healing, that you can, you know, heal from certain traumas and things like that. And so, yeah, I'm sure. And I feel like all I see like on TikTok are like a lot of Gen Z people like doing like trippy psychedelic videos of being like, things like we don't realize about psychedelics and like why like the government has like kept us from like thinking these things. So there's definitely like this utility, I think, to psychedelics now that people are like sort of connecting to. But yeah, it's the trend is going down.
I should acknowledge that there is a difference between like the effects of alcohol and weed, and I definitely chose alcohol in a big way in my life, and the effects are bad, but I shouldn't be like, why would you ever choose drinking? Because I certainly did for a long time.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't think drinking is going away for what it's worth. Right. I don't think it's like going to go away, but
unfortunately,
I think that people thinking about it a little bit more is a good idea.
Yeah. I agree.
Exactly.
All right. Let's talk about COVID safety, COVID preventative measures. There were the Emmys 2 nights ago when Seth Rogen just got up and like people were laughing, and it had the cadence of a stand-up routine, but he was just like, they lied to us and said this was going to be outside. It's not outside. No one's wearing masks. I feel unsafe. I wouldn't have come if I knew this. Like,
yeah,
that was
here. Let's play
literally
the clip.
All he said. Like,
go ahead. Play the clip, because he's truly like the Canadian in a room full of Americans. He's like, the fuck are you guys doing here? Like, really? So let's just hear Seth. But yeah, it's funny because his disbelief does sound like a bit.
Right.
It's clearly
right.
Not.
Anyway, good to be here at the Emmy Awards. Let me start by saying there is way too many of us in this little room. What are we doing? They said this was outdoors. It's not. They lied to us. We're in a hermetically sealed tent right now. I would not have come to this. Why is there a roof? It's more important that we have 3 chandeliers than that we make sure we don't kill Eugene Levy tonight.
Shout out to him looking out for a fellow Canadian. But yeah,
I know. I love that he talks about Eugene Levy. Good work. Yeah.
Protect
I had
him.
Not seen that clip. That's a good clip. Holy shit.
Yeah. He's really... It really does feel like if I were at a party and they're like, yeah, it's going to be all safe. It's all outdoors, vaccinated guests only. And you're like, yo, this is in like someone's fucking 2-car garage and there's 70 of us in here. What are we doing? And you're like, oh, you're so funny, man, by observing shit.
Right.
No, but seriously, they said this was going to be outside. It's like, this is not a joke.
That's actually not a stand-up routine. He's just talking.
Right.
It's great.
It's a dystopian nightmare where you're like just talking, making observations of things that are happening, and people are like,
Twilight Zone.
This guy.
Look at him. He said, why are we here? They lied to us. We're in a hermetically sealed tent. Yeah. No. That was
love the suit, though.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, suit. He looks great.
Love the suit.
He's like kind of aging into Steve Martin a little bit. He's got like a Steve Martin-ish vibe about him.
Interesting. What do you mean?
I don't know. He's like, he's like clean cut. He's got gray hair. He's got glasses that are Steve Martin.
Okay, but he doesn't have like an arrow going through his head or like,
unfortunately,
you know, like a fiddle. What was it? No, banjo.
Yeah.
He ain't banjoing. He's throwing that clay. You know what I mean? Doing the pottery.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of, you know, COVID logic that is difficult to differentiate from comedy. I don't know. Like, what was the outlet that published
Breitbart.
This? Breitbart. Okay.
Op-ed, baby.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically the background or the foundation of this is that Fox News, you know, polls are saying Americans are worried about the pandemic. They embrace vaccines and masks and are even okay with mandates, you know, to
like a majority, like over 55%. I mean, the mandates are a little less popular, but that's arriving to the point of a 50% plus one.
Yeah, it's 55. Mm. Yeah. And so, and even some conservatives are like, yeah, no, we're definitely on the wrong side of this. How did we get here? Mm-hmm. And this gentleman has an idea that I am kind of impressed with the kind of logical leaps that they've taken here.
Yeah.
But basically their explanation is that the rest of the world has reverse psychologied them into being against vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Because this is because Howard Stern was like, you know, mocking people who had like passed away for who are like COVID deniers, like really prominent COVID deniers who eventually succumbed to the virus. And he starts off saying, quote, this is all from the op-ed. This is not
a comedy bit. All of this. We need to read all of this.
Fine. Do you want to know why I think Howard Stern is going full monster with his mockery of three fellow human beings who died of the coronavirus? Because the leftists like Stern and CNN LOL and Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and Anthony Fauci are deliberately looking to manipulate Trump supporters into not getting vaccinated. Nothing else makes sense to me. In a country where elections are decided on razor-thin margins, does it not benefit one side if their opponents simply drop dead? If I wanted to use reverse psychology to convince people not to get a life-saving vaccination, I would do exactly what Stern and the left are doing. I would bully and taunt and mock and ridicule you for not getting vaccinated, knowing the human response would be, hey, fuck you, I'm never getting vaccinated. No one wants to cave to a piece of shit like that or a scumbag like Fauci or any of the scumbags at CNN LOL. So we don't. And what's the result? They're all vaccinated and we're not. And when you look at the numbers, it's only numbers that matter, which is who's dying. It's overwhelmingly the unvaccinated who are dying. And they have just manipulated millions of their political enemies into the unvaccinated camp. According to the CDC, again, he talks about who's dying of, and he says China flu. When he goes on to say, could it possibly be the left has manipulated huge swaths of Trump's voters into believing they are owning the left by not taking the life-saving Trump vaccine? I am strongly pro-vaccine and now believe that Biden, the media, Hollywood, and the left in general are deliberately being as nasty as possible as a way to use reverse psychology against Trump supporters. They know that the uglier they get, the more unvaccinated Trump supporters will dig in and refuse to get vaccinated. Oh, well, God. I think that's the plan. They're vaccinated. We're not. The unvaccinated are almost exclusively ones who's dying. Who's winning the debate? Who's owning who?
That was exhausting, Miles.
But
it's, my eyebrows are permanently stuck in this quizzical like, shock face because I cannot believe.
Did you get Botox?
I'm sorry. I put on my eyebrows too high this morning. It's like this whole fucking idea that, again, it's never personal responsibility in this case, apparently, because we've been gamed like a parent would a 3-year-old, because that's our intellect. Okay, they knew that we're easily manipulated. I don't know what they're trying to say, but
yeah,
these people
I think
have
that's
not
the
been.
Thing. It's like it's very condescending towards people who have not been vaccinated, like very thinking that is what their thought process is extremely like infantilizing and condescending.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, all I see is like health officials desperately imploring people who are unvaccinated to actually get the vaccine.
Yeah.
Scumbag Fauci.
This whole thing is wild. This is wild.
Yeah. Because that scumbag Fauci, that's the best, is just like Fauci is just from the start, but like, please get vaccinated. Like, dude, we're just asking you. It's safe. Please, 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 please.
Fucking reverse psychology.
They're like, oh, look at this asshole.
Right?
Okay. It's like, wait, what?
What?
What the fuck are you talking about?
This is the thing they don't realize. This is why their logic loop has now began to eat its own asshole now, because they don't understand the origins of this. It's not, they have not been owned or manipulated by the left. You have been owned by the unscrupulous monsters that have weaponized your partisanship against you to stay in power. Because the ideology for the conservatives is basically don't agree with liberals ever.
Yeah.
So how the fuck are you being manipulated by them if your marching orders are to just to stand antithetically, diametrically opposed to whatever they're saying? That's of your own creation. That's how the discourse has operated on that side for the last, you know, however many decades. It's not about, oh, okay, yeah, we can't agree on this thing. It's just full stop. What'd they say? No, I'm against it. They're manipulating me into not getting a vaccine. But again, you know, like, I don't know if the tone of this is to also try and be like, so we have to take things back, you know, conservatives, and get vaccinated, because clearly he is trying to draw a line of like, this is part of the health of the party that's on the line. And yes, maybe we've been owned, but are you urging them to get vaccinated?
Because so much of the right is like fueled by really wealthy people just funding like think tanks. This also feels like it could be a strategy thought up by a conservative think tank to like try to get Breitbart readers and like the conservative movement on board. They're like, okay, so if we say the liberals don't want them to do the vaccine, then maybe they do vaccine.
Right. And maybe this is actually reverse psychology for conservatives, where they're like trying to convince conservatives and people who are unvaccinated to get vaccinated by saying like,
right,
you're getting owned, like, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe,
who's this is the thing that he
to say.
This ends, right, with sort of this whole thing of like being like, you know, the number is startling when you're talking about the percentage of people who are dying that are unvaccinated. An eye opener. Again, this I'm quoting, quote, forget cases, forget mandates, forget masks and Howard Stern. When you learn that almost everyone dying is unvaccinated, that's a come to Jesus moment. I could be wrong. Maybe the left isn't that evil and sly. But when I think of the unvaccinated lying there dying, being told by their doctor, sorry, there's nothing more we can do to get enough oxygen to your lungs, I don't laugh. My heart breaks for that person. Imagine lying there dying, thinking that all you had to do was get the Trump vaccine. Rebrand. Even if this isn't the left's plan, who's owning who? So I think this is trying to use the verbiage of ownage,
right?
Yeah. To get to speak to the conservatives, be like, no, we're getting owned.
Kind of
so now you own them.
Piece of writing.
Yeah.
Like, this is a fascinating piece of writing. Like, I feel like you need to dissect it in so many different ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, the rebranding it, calling it the Trump vaccine, saying like, look, like, people who vote like us are dying, so you should get the vaccine. That's kind of smart.
You have no
idea. I just want these people to get vaccinated, so whatever it takes, honestly.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, that's why a lot of people.
That's what I was just gonna say. It's like, yo, fine. Should we just on this podcast admit to this having been our strategy all along as we were trying to antagonize them into not getting the vaccine, so that.
We can blow up on InfoWars?
Yeah, so first of all, okay.
Listen
so
to them!
Here we go,
listen InfoWars.
Here's a clean edit point, and we were, in fact, hoping that you wouldn't get vaccinated. Now that our playbook has been exposed, though, I guess you should read this Breitbart article, and who's owning who? I mean, you have to ask yourself that question. Just go get fucking vaccinated. Thanks.
Who's
well done.
But I think the tone seems to suggest that at the upper echelons of the sort of conservative media apparatus, that this is a problem that they know. Like, and they're like, fuck dude. Like, oh no. I mean, like they believe everything. And now we're trying to convince them to not like to avoid preventable death because they've took it as a culture war battle.
It's truly mind-boggling how, like, Tucker Carlson, like, gets through a night and, like, sleeps. Because it's, these things are just so plainly evident that he's killing people. He's killing his own viewers. I don't know. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. I mean, what's funny is, like, the day before, he wrote some like article that said anti-vaxxers hype benign transmission numbers as proof vax doesn't work.
Okay.
So the day before you spent your time just throwing more garbage out there into the world Then the next day you're like, well, who's owning who? You're like, I think you are, sir, for clicks. You're owning them for clicks.
Just the casual reference to Fauci being a scumbag. Okay, I guess. Yeah, I mean, if that's...
What did he do? Because right. By the end of it, you're like, we need to get vaccinated. So then you were wrong about him?
Yeah, but he was such a scumbag about it. He didn't want us to. You could tell when he was begging us, this hugely earnest human being who's never said anything, like, that doesn't appear to be capable of insincerity. You could tell he was being insincere when he told us we should get the vaccine.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's that, you know, it's once again just America bending over backwards to have the lowest standards possible for conservative people, that like somehow we have to make it not their fault. So,
yeah,
there we go.
There are the children we have to bring with us, drag them along forward into the future.
Yes. Well,
what other reverse psychology schemes can we get them to do?
Oh, shit. That's a great point.
Interesting.
You know what's really cool are fucking closed borders where no one can get in or out. You hear that? Keep everybody where they are. And then you're like, nah, man, we need our freedom of movement, man, because we need that kind of agency as human beings. We have to extend that to others across the globe. You're like, whoa, it's working. It was that easy.
Well, Ariel, it's been such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you?
So they can find me on Twitter, I guess, sometimes, at ADRS. I probably post more on Instagram, at ADRS. And listen to the podcast. Listen to Vice News Reports. I also have a new podcast coming out, you know, end of October, beginning of November. Can't talk about it just yet, but, you know, keep an eye out for that.
Okay. Nice. Can you give us a genre? Anything?
Yeah, it'll be like long form narrative, science-y, human drama.
Cool.
Okay, very cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
So the tweet that I picked out is one by Paul Ford. I just really appreciated this idea. So he tweeted, my favorite part in learning anything new is learning the reasons why everyone in the discipline hates each other. And that just feels so right. Like, coming back to the whole cycling thing, you know, electric cyclists versus lycra-wearing cyclists versus, you know, city bikers versus delivery people. Like, those turf wars are just so intense. And I was... Right. Kind of unaware of any of it, and I'm learning a lot right now. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's hard out there when people talking shit when I'm on my e-bike. Well, it's only happened twice, but it's like people be like, nice bike. Like, one guy said that
really?
He was like on a mountain bike. Wow. I was like, dude, fuck you.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, you're so fucking bitter. Like, also, bro, I can't hear you because my drum and bass is too loud.
But it's so true, though. The minute you learn about you enter a new world, you're like, oh, like, these people hate each other, and they love the same things, but they hate each other.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's whenever people congregate around a thing, we always split off in our little groups.
Yep.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray, G-R-A-Y. And the other show, 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra, where we talk about 90 Day Fiancé. You know, where the real shit's going down sometimes to give us a much needed break from the world. A tweet that I like a couple. First one is from Brody Gupta, at Brody Gupta. You know, when Michaela Cole got her Emmy the other night, she was saying, like, writers write what scares you was like her, like, one of like the poignant lines from her acceptance speech, among many other things. But so Brody Gupta quote tweeted that the writers write what scares you. And Brody tweeted, opening a document to simply write the words raccoon hands. Very specific. But I might be a little not what that was being meant, but I love it because I agree.
That's
I always
so want
to look at them and be like, what, you got fingernails? What are those claws? And another one is from Laura Peak, at Laura Peak _ tweeted, I'm extremely conflict avoidant, which is fine. Totally don't even worry about it. I'm good either way.
That is so close to my heart. A tweet I've been enjoying was from Golden Phantom, tweeted the trolley opportunity in reference to the trolley problem thought experiment, which I think is basically sums up capitalism and how businesses work.
I like that, Jack. I mean, I hate it, but I like it.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song are we telling people to go check out?
You know, I mentioned it already when I was talking about blasting some drum and bass when I'm on my bike. So, you know what? Y'all, put some D&B in your ears. And
Dave Matthews Band?
No, D-N-N.
Oh.
Not M. D-N-B into your ears. And let's go out on Boom by Andy C. You know what I mean? I'm just pedaling. All I do is listen to drum and bass in front of my bike. So I want y'all to feel that wind in your face and just check this one out by Andy C. Boom. You're going to love it. Nice. You know, fire it up in your exercise bike, however you like to get down in whatever pedal fashion you do.
Yeah, yeah. Keep one ear open, though, or use those weird jawbone.
Headphones. Don't put it. No, don't ever fucking put both earphones in. Please.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning, but we're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.